Okay, to wrap up our potential tenant defenses to a landlord's eviction action in Ohio, we wanted to talk about defenses on the merits of the cause of action.
This will be the fourth type of defense. As we talked about before, they were procedural, they were equitable, and they were statutory defenses, and now we're on the merit defenses. And these are very simple, really, although they can be complex once you get into arguing them. But what it's basically saying is that the tenant is arguing, no, I didn't breach the agreement. If the landlord is saying that the tenant has an unauthorized pet at the premises, and the tenant is saying, oh, no, I don't, well, that's a merit defense. It's saying on the merits of this, I've not breached the agreement. And in that case, the magistrate, the fact finder, has to basically make a decision as to who's telling the truth. And oftentimes, that's a difficult question. And here we get into what's called the burden of proof. The burden of proof is almost always on the party who is bringing the action, and that's certainly true in eviction actions. Thus, the burden of proof is on the landlord to establish in the magistrate's mind that the landlord is telling the truth and the tenant is not. There are three ways that the magistrate can decide a case after hearing the facts. He can decide the landlord's telling the truth, in which case the landlord wins. He can decide the tenant is telling the truth, in which case the tenant wins and the matter is dismissed. Or the magistrate can say, gee, after hearing both of those guys talk, I don't know who's telling the truth. And in that case, the magistrate will look it up and say, who's got the burden of proof in this case? Well, gee, that would be the landlord because he's the plaintiff. Therefore, since I don't know who's telling the truth, the party with the burden of proof loses, therefore the landlord loses. So you want to make sure when you're going into court that you've got some fairly good proof. Now, what standard of proof you need, a lot of people get this confused. They think that it has to be beyond a reasonable doubt. No, that's for criminal cases. In civil cases, especially in evictions, the standard is what's called preponderance of the evidence. And what that means is you only have to be a little bit more convincing than your opponent. As long as you're just a little bit more convincing than your opponent, then you win the case on preponderance of the evidence standard. Let's give you sort of a physical example of this that I try to explain to people with. If you stack all your evidence on one side of a seesaw that children use to play on, and the tenant stacks all of his evidence on the other end, if your side just barely touches the ground, then you've established your case by preponderance of the evidence and you win. Now, were this a criminal case, and you were the prosecutor, you would stack your evidence, the defendant would stack his, and your evidence better go thump on the ground. That's beyond a reasonable doubt, okay? But we don't have to get into all that. You don't have to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. You just have to be a little bit more convincing than the other side. How do you be a little bit more convincing than the other side? There are three things that generally work in court. Obviously, there's your testimony. There's backing up your testimony with any kind of documentation. Therefore, you should be saving the letters that go back and forth from you to the tenant and from the tenant to you. And then lastly, if you can show that the tenant is out there walking his dog and you take a video of him or you take a picture of him out walking his dog, and then the video shows where the tenant goes right up on into the house through the back door and the dog goes in the house too, well, that's some pretty darn good evidence. So you want to be able to think to yourself, how am I going to prove my case if the tenant comes up and says, Your Honor, I don't know what he's talking about. I've not breached the lease. That's a merit defense.
One way, or actually two ways, to avoid trying to prove your case by a preponderance of the evidence that many people try to do, and many of my clients try to do, despite my advice to the contrary, is they try to line up eight different witnesses to testify to the same point. And you will infuriate a judge very quickly if you try to line up those eight witnesses at trial to testify to the same point. That's not going to help your case. You just need one or two witnesses to testify to the same point, especially if you're already testifying to it. So that's what we call cumulative evidence. And just because you have eight different people saying the same thing, That's not going to stack the evidence in your favor. And finally, I'll get clients who try to refute every sentence that comes out of the other side's mouth. And you'll infuriate not only the judge, but your attorney for doing that, because not every point that comes out of the other side's mouth is worth refuting. There are some points that are relevant to the case, and there are some points that are not relevant to the case. And the problem is people have trouble distinguishing the two. That's why you hired the lawyer. So just because you proved the tenant lied about what day of the week they paid the rent, or actually a better example would be if just because you proved what day of the week the tenant signed the lease, and that turned out to be contrary to what the tenant said, doesn't mean the tenant's lying on every other point. Maybe the tenant's just mistaken on that point. And I think that's a trap that people fall into, is they think if they can catch the other side in any sort of lie, that that's going to destroy their credibility for every other point they make, which is not the case. You just need to catch the tenant on the lies that are relevant to the case. And so if the lie is, you know, when the tenant paid the rent and this is an eviction for non-payment of rent, then that's relevant. When the tenant signed the lease is really not relevant to a non-payment of rent action. So two things to avoid are, don't bring in a herd of witnesses to testify to the same thing. The court has many other cases to hear, and you just need to have one or two other witnesses on a specific point. And the other is, listen to your lawyer as to what's relevant, and don't try to refute everything that the other side is saying.
Another good example of that would be, you have to keep in mind that at an eviction hearing, you're only there to talk about who has the right to possession of the premises. So if the whole ball of wax gets down to, did the tenant have a dog or not at the premises, and the tenant starts bringing up some crazy stuff about how, let's say you live in the house next door and you park your boat, and part of the boat hangs over onto his property line, and of course you don't think it does. You think that the boat is five feet within your property line. You don't want to get into an argument in the court about whether your boat hangs over the property line or not, because that's not relevant to these proceedings. What's relevant is, does the tenant have a dog in violation of the lease? And you're going to want to feel you're going to feel yourself wanting to argue, Your Honor, that's ridiculous. I've got photos. The boat is nowhere near the property line. But you don't want to get into that. You can just say, Your Honor, the boat has nothing to do with anything. That's for another day. What only matters here is that this tenant has a dog, the lease outlaws dogs, and I caught him, and that's that.
Finally, during our whole discussion here, we have been referring to residential property, and which, you know, performing an eviction on a residential property is a different animal than evictions concerning commercial property. Isn't that right, Eric?
That's correct. The only legal way to evict a tenant from residential property is to go through the statutory eviction proceedings. If you're talking about commercial property, you can evict them through this same proceedings that we've been talking about. That is an option. However, you can also evict them using a self-help eviction. You can just lock the door and take out their stuff and so on and so forth. The problem that you get into there is that in doing that, you cannot make what's called a breach of the peace. In other words, when you lock the door, the you set off the tenant's alarm system, or if when you lock the door, the tenant comes out and starts screaming at you, hey, what are you doing? You can't lock my door. You can't do this. Now we've got a breach of the peace. And if you are doing a self-help eviction on commercial property and there's a breach of the peace, you've got to stop immediately and get out of there because the court will not allow that. So a lot of landlords, even in commercial evictions, will go through the statutory process because that gives them a certain surety, a certainty that the eviction will proceed at a certain pace and they will eventually get possession of the premises through this legal means, and that there can't be any retaliations by the tenant, counterclaims by the tenant saying that the landlord breached the peace in retaking possession of the premises.
And to follow up on that point, really, it's the language of the lease will determine, in a commercial setting, will determine what type of eviction a landlord can take. It's often addressed in the lease. So refer to your lease and what provisions you included on that. Now, if there is no provision concerning what type of eviction is permitted upon a tenant's default, and usually commercial leases will have several paragraphs as to what constitutes default by the commercial tenant, then how is a commercial landlord to proceed?
Well, if you have a commercial lease and the lease defines default, then if the tenant has defaulted pursuant to those terms, then yes, those are bases for an eviction. If you don't have certain specific things defined, then your eviction action may be a little bit more suspect, and you go to court and you're going to have to convince the court that there is a breach of the lease, even though the lease may not be all that clear, and you get into those issues of ambiguity that we talked about before. Is that what you were asking?
Well, kind of, Eric. I was basically what I was asking concerned what type of eviction can a landlord do in a commercial setting if the lease says nothing about the eviction? And my understanding is a landlord, if there is no language in the lease restricting a landlord to the eviction procedure as we've laid out in these series of audio segments, then the landlord can proceed with a self-help eviction in a commercial setting.
So long as there's no breach of the peace, that's correct.
Right, and I believe there's also... there's a lot of other issues that you're going to get into concerning that. One of them, just to mention, is the landlord, I believe, owes a duty of care towards the tenant's belongings. But again, commercial leases will have several provisions concerning this. And sometimes they even indicate that a landlord has the right to take possession of the tenant's property in the commercial setting and actually auction it off to satisfy any debts resulting from unpaid rent and other liabilities.